Well, good morning. Okay, there are people awake out there. That's good. My name is Derek Hill, and I work with Power to Change at McMaster University, helping to reach international students. And it's great to be here this morning, and I think all the leaders are away, or most of the leaders are away today, and so I said, great, now I can say whatever I want, and there should be no consequences. So don't tell them what I'm saying today, okay? But we want to welcome anybody who's also new, and today I'm going to be talking about how we share the gospel. And for those of us who are Christians, we know this is something that God asks us to do. And for those of you who are not yet Christians, I think there'll still be a lot here for you, because you may be, as we're talking, we're going to be talking about how we actually go through the process of actually discovering Jesus. And so there should be some things that you really relate to here as well. And so one of the things I really enjoy working with international students is meeting people from different cultures, making new friends and learning a lot of things. But also, I really enjoy sharing my faith. I really enjoy talking about God. But at the same time, it's something that's really scary to me. And we've been learning from Pastor Dave over the past few weeks through the book of Jonah that God wants people to know about him, and even people who maybe are considered our enemies. And of course, we've heard, or we probably have read lots of passages about the Great Commission in Matthew 28, commanding us to go and make disciples, and other passages that are commanding us. And one of my favorite passages about going and sharing our faith is Philemon 1:6. And some people don't even know what Philemon is, because it's not a book of the Bible that we actually look at very much. And so Philemon's going to be up here on the screen, but Philemon 1:6 says this. It says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." Some other translations translate it as, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you know every good thing that you have in Christ." Or that others may grip how great Jesus is. And so this is one of my favorite ones, because it really, reveals that we have a benefit, a personal benefit to sharing our faith, that helps us to understand what we have in Christ. And I think out of all the things, well, maybe not all the things, because I think the Word of God has taught me a lot, but one of the things that's also taught me a lot about why I believe what I believe is when I've been sharing my faith with others, because people have asked me questions, and I've had to find answers. And so it caused, for me, a lot of growth. But when you hear some of these passages, again, Matthew 28, when you read Matthew 28 or you look at this passage, what goes through your mind? Was that passage up there on the screen? Yeah, okay. Because I just see this big title page at the back. Okay. So what goes through your mind? You know, again, probably for a lot of us, it's something that we're really afraid of. And I can remember one of the times I was training someone in how to share their faith. And this was up at Carleton University. And Jim, he was just been a Christian for most of his life, but no one had ever really trained him in how to share his own faith. And so one day we were training, and I was training him how to use this little gospel tract, this book called The Four Spiritual Laws. And we decided to go out on campus after the training and try to find someone to talk to. And it was really, it was very interesting, because he was really nervous. And we approached one guy, and he said he'd agree to talk to us. And he was coming from a Buddhist background. I think he was born here in Canada, but coming from an Asian background. And I started talking to him, asking some questions about, you know, what's your religious or spiritual beliefs? And he didn't really seem that interested, really. And I thought, well, I want my, you know, my friend here, Jim, to have the chance to share the gospel. So I said, this Buddhist guy, I said, would you be interested in maybe hearing about Jesus? And if you could, would you want to know? And he said, yeah, sure. So I said, okay, Jim, why don't you share the booklet? So Jim gets out the booklet, and he's turning the pages, and he gets to the first page, and his hand's going like this. And I'm like, oh, gee, okay, calm down. And he starts stuttering, and he's still going like this. And I don't know how he could read it. And I don't know how the other guy could read it, because he's just shaking and his whole body, and I'm like, okay, just calm down. I start praying for him. And part of me wanted to laugh, like, because I found the situation funny. But what was really funny was the Buddhist guy's reaction. this guy was paying more attention to Jim and what he was sharing than he was when I was sharing, when I was asking questions. And Jim proceeded to go through the gospel, and this Buddhist guy listened, and at the end of the conversation, as we were walking away, I asked Jim, I said, how do you think that went? He said, oh, that was horrible. He said, I was so nervous. I said, really? I couldn't tell. And he said, yeah, he said, I was shaking, I was stuttering, I said, yeah, I noticed a little. I said, but how do you think the guy responded? He said, I don't know. He said, I was too concerned about myself to even worry about the other guy. And I said, well, would it surprise you to know that that guy was listening to everything you said? He said, really? I said, yeah, that guy was more interested in what you said than I said. He said, really? And all of a sudden, things changed. And I said, see, God used you. And it didn't matter how nervous you were or what you were doing, God used you. And so I learned a lesson that day that, again, we can be the most prepared. We can be, think we're, or we don't know what we're doing. God can use us no matter what. And so I want to look at some of the fears we have, because I think this is sometimes, fear is one of the things that really hold us back. And so I think there's a few different fears. So one fear that I think we have is that we just feel we're not ready. We're not ready to share our faith. We're maybe struggling in our relationship with God, or, you know, maybe we're a new Christian, or, again, we just feel like we have things in our life that are not together. And we know, as Christians, we're not perfect. And so we feel like, well, God only uses perfect people, because Christians are perfect. That's kind of what we think. Which, when we also think we're not ready, that kind of leads to the second one, which is we don't know what to say. It's like, okay, like, I can share my faith, but I don't know what do I actually say? What do I actually tell someone? And so we feel not prepared. And because we feel that, that kind of leads to the third one, which is awkwardness. We hate awkwardness. We hate being in a conversation where, yeah, it's silent, or it's stuttering, or we're shaking, or what have you. Which leads to the fourth one, which I think we feel where we're afraid of rejection. We don't want people to reject us. And because our faith is very personal to us, it's something that really means a lot, and so therefore someone's rejecting our faith, we feel like they're rejecting us. Which leads to the last one, which is that we really think no one's actually interested. We think no one is actually interested in hearing about Jesus. So how do we overcome these fears? These fears are all legitimate. Like, these are, I've felt these many times. Even now, as I said, I enjoy sharing my faith. I still feel these. I'm afraid of, you know, my friends rejecting me and saying, I don't want to be your friend anymore because you tried to tell me about Jesus. I mean, when I say that, that sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? You tried to tell me about Jesus, so I don't want to be your friend. Okay, that doesn't, yeah. But that's what we think. We have these fears. So I think trying to get the proper perspective, and so I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, and see what the Apostle Paul, what he felt, because the Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest evangelists in the Bible, apart from maybe Jesus. And so we want to look at, how did the Apostle Paul do evangelism? What did he feel? What did he think? And so in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5, it says this. And when I came to you, brothers, and this is to the Corinthians, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So here we have, again, the greatest, you know, evangelist, or one of the greatest evangelists, who is fearful and trembling. You know, he's not coming with all these great arguments. And so what can we learn from this? I think there's a few points. The first one is that God uses imperfect people so others can see a perfect God. So God uses imperfect people so others can see a perfect God. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. That's just the reality. And so the Apostle Paul, he boasts about his weakness so that God's grace would come into that situation, into his weakness, and then he would be strong. It would be a testimony of God being real. And you know, we don't really want to be Pharisees. Pharisees thought they were good and they didn't really need God, that they were righteous on their own. And I don't think people really respect people who think they're righteous. People respect and relate to others who are genuine and humble, not someone who has it all together. If somebody's not going to respect someone who says, yeah, I know everything, I've got it all figured out, and that. And so we need to model a daily dependence upon God. And so, again, realizing that sharing our faith is not about being perfect. It's about showing others that we depend on God. The gospel is not just for those who don't yet, those who are not yet Christians. The gospel is also for Christians. I need Jesus every moment of the day. The second one is that we need to realize it's not a debate, but it's about sharing our lives. So it's not a debate, but it's about sharing our lives. See, people come to faith not by pressure. That's not faith. But they come to faith through love. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict people. It's not my job, it's not our job to try to tell people that they need to be a Christian. It's not my job to make Christians. God is the one who works on someone's heart to show the person that they need him. So what they need from us is to see the experience that we have. People need to see what it looks like. For example, in Psalm 34, 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Well, when you hear the word taste, what do you think of? An experience. Because if I said, hey, this food that I just cooked is really good, you might not believe me because you might not think I'm a good cook. But if I said, oh, it tastes, you know, really good, it tastes sweet and this, and I say, oh, okay, but how do I know it's actually delicious? I say, well, it is. Try it. Well, no, I can't try it because I don't have enough information. Well, the only way you're going to know is if you take a taste to see if it's really good. The same way as people experience and taste God, they'll see that he is real. And so they need to see that he is real in our life. Which leads to the third thing, I think, on this perspective is we shouldn't compartmentalize our faith. So don't compartmentalize your faith. So sometimes I think as Christians, we tend to have different places where our faith is allowed. So yes, on Sundays, you know, that's church, so Christ is here. Maybe, you know, in the mornings when we're spending time with God in prayer or at home, it's okay. But work, no. Jesus can't be at work. You know, Jesus can't be with certain friends and certain things. But if we compartmentalize our faith and don't let Jesus into all areas, well, then it's going to be really hard to share our faith because it's almost like there's certain places that he's allowed and he's not allowed. And we should bring Christ into every area of our life. That's where he should be Lord of our life. And if he's just in our life everywhere, it's not a big deal because we're talking about him at church and we're talking about him, you know, in social settings, we're talking about home, we're talking about him at work. It just becomes very natural. And so that's for me when I'm talking to international students, I just talk about Jesus. Not in a way that is, oh yeah, pressuring, because I'm not saying, okay, yeah, so you should be a Christian, you should be this. I just talk about like, yeah, so this weekend I was doing this, and yeah, as I think about what I'm doing in the future, I'm trusting God for this. I just talk about it normally, or I've been praying to God about what I should do with some, whether I should buy this car or whatever decisions I might need to make in my life. And the last one I think that is important to realize is that there are people interested. They just don't have all the facts. Now, again, I've just been talking about relationships and not about facts, but the reality is a lot of people have misconceptions about what Christianity really is. They tend to think that it's an ideology, that it's a philosophy. They don't understand that it's a relationship with God. So, again, that's why it's not a debate, because we're not trying to debate ideologies. We're trying to help them understand that this is a real person. And the reality is not everyone will be interested, but there are people interested. And I think, though, if we actually share our faith in a way that is loving and relational, I think rejection will be minimal. So I think it's very few. I don't even know if I have ever experienced someone rejecting me, not wanting to be my friend because I'm a Christian, because I try to help them understand Jesus. I don't know if that's ever happened. I do know other people that that's happened. But I think in most cases here in Canada, we don't experience that same kind of rejection. So what am I really trying to say? What I'm really trying to say is that the gospel is relational. The gospel is a message about how we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, if it's about a relationship, it needs to be communicated relationally. So if it's about a relationship, we should communicate it in a relational way. The power of a witness is not in one's words so much as it is in how it is communicated and lived out. So it's not in the words that we actually use, but it's actually in how it's communicated and how it's lived out. And again, we see this, again, in Paul's life with the Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, 5-8, it says, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." And so we see, again, that it's about sharing our lives, getting involved in the lives of others. That's how we share the gospel. Here it says that he proclaimed the gospel, and that's an important clarification to make. I'm not suggesting that we share the gospel just by simply living our lives and hoping people get it. That's not what I'm saying. And that maybe they'll get it and then they'll be asking us questions and then, you know, we can answer. Sharing our faith requires being very intentional and taking the initiative. We need to proclaim the truth in as much as we need to share it through love. And so they both go hand in hand. It's not, well, I'll live like a good Christian and I'll help people, and I'll just talk about Christianity or just talk about my faith is how it relates, and then if people want to know, they can ask me questions. No, we also do need to tell people exactly the gospel message, but we need to do it in a loving way. And so again, there's a process that people go through, and again, people really respond to the idea of relationships. And so this morning, I invited someone to join me because I wanted you to see, again, a practical example of someone who is on a journey from not believing to coming to faith and what that process was and what was the significant factors to them becoming a Christian. So I'm going to invite my friend Cherry to come up. Cherry, if you want to grab the mic. And can we just welcome her up because I know she's a little nervous. Yeah. So Cherry, just tell us where you're from and how long you've been at Westside for.
Sure, I came from China and came to Canada for nearly 3 years and I've been with Westside for nearly 3 years.
Great. And you came to Canada and before you were in China, what was your religious or spiritual belief?
Honestly, I didn't think about this question before because this is something that we don't talk about in China. So when looking back, I think what I believed was a combination of people's effort and something supernatural. By seeing that, I mean, because personally, I really like to set realistic goals for myself. So I work really hard on that. So if things didn't go the way that I expected, I usually think I didn't work hard enough, or I attribute it to something supernatural because I know something is controlling, but I just cannot define what it is.
Hmm. And back in China, did you know any Christians at all, or?
Not personally, but I remember in my second or third in the universities, one day when I was walking on campus, two Christians approached me and asking, "Hi, young lady, are you interested in Jesus? And do you want to come to church with me?" Honestly, I was. Feel so offensive because this is something I never think about before, and this is something so new that I don't dare to try, so I just say no, thank you.
And so you came to Canada, and obviously at some point you got curious about Christianity. What made you curious?
It has to be something to do with my first dinner here in Hamilton. So when I first came here, I lived with a Canadian family. So at that dinner, before the dinner, everybody was holding hands and praying to God. I was like, what he did? I never see that before. Just say through movies or books, never experienced that. So I know that they pray in Jesus' name, and they later told me that they're Christians. I was like, wow, I want to maybe try at some point of my life. So after that is the orientation of the programs that I studied at McMaster. So I met Sen Heng, who is my best friend now. So during a conversation over coffee, I asked her, are you a Christian? Honestly, I don't know why I asked that question, because we were not even talking about God. But I'm glad I did. So she said yes, and then she brought me to YSAD the following Sunday. And that was my first time stepping into a church.
Wow. And so when you were here with your first time, what did you think? What was your experience like?
Oh, pretty awesome. Because at that time, because my knowledge of Bible is zero, so I know nothing. I'm so confused why there's numbers every line of the Bible. I don't know. So at that time, my language is so basic and doesn't allow me to understand all the sermons and all the conversation even. But what I felt is people are so nice to me, and they welcome me as if I'm a family here. I have family here, and also the songs, the worship songs are so touched. I just so moved, and also I have so many questions about Bibles, about Jesus, about everything. So people are so patient and kind to answer and to explain to me. So I decided to continue to come.
Hmm. And so as you were kind of trying to figure things out and as you were learning, what helped you to actually learn about Jesus?
So before, when I was still a student, I attended a Bible study with Emily Chung and Irene Nanninger. So with them, I just learned very, very basic things about Bible, including how many books in a Bible and who is Jesus and what he did for us or something like that. And because at that time, I'm still living with the Canadian family, and they have Bible studies at their home. So at the very first beginning, I was just running errands, preparing snacks or setting up tables for the Bible study group. And gradually, I started to be part of them. And they started to sharing gospels with me and also praying for me.
Hmm. And so eventually, you made a decision to become a Christian. Why? Why did you decide to become a Christian?
So because I see people here, many people, thousands of people, spend their time, money, energy to God. I know there must be a reason. There must be someone who is really awesome so that people can contribute a lot to him. So it was at a conference in Toronto. I was there experiencing God's love and people's love, of course. So at a point of my life, I feel like I may be ready because I have already started to pray to God. I have started already to live like a Christian, going to church. I read Bibles every day and having spiritual conversations with friends. So I want to experience the grace. I want to taste the cake. So I just said, yeah, I'm in.
Mm. And so what has happened since you've made that decision?
It's really life-changing, because before I really believed in myself and that cannot define that some spiritual things. So things just don't make sense sometimes. But now, if I'm confused about something, if I have struggles with something, I really there's a place that I always can come back to and find answers there. So this is something I never experienced before. And also, right now, I feel not lonely anymore. Mm. I have somebody who is with me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And what is helping you to grow now?
Right now, I'm with Life Group, led by Brock Mason. So I go to Brock's home every Wednesday evening and to learn Bibles and to share faith and share stories and just share my life with everybody there. I think it's really important for me to come to the small group and to learn from each other, because on my own I just cannot do it. I just cannot clear up my questions every day or every week.
Great. Well, I appreciate you sharing and your story and sharing with us. So let's give her just a thank you for that.
Thank you, guys.
And so you can see, if you were paying attention, that Cherry went through a process. Her story kind of gives you a process of coming to Canada, at first knowing nothing, but spending some time with some Christians, getting to familiar, seeing what they do, meeting another Christian who invited her to church, again, a very new and cultural experience. I always say to some of my international friends that, well, there's Canadian culture and then there's Christian culture, because when you come to church, there's a whole other culture sometimes. But then again, you can see that she started getting curious, started asking questions, and started attending Bible study. And that's what we're going to look at right now, is we're going to look at kind of the what we call the engagement model. And this was written by some staff from InterVarsity. And there was a kind of a process that people go through, different stages or thresholds that people go through in becoming a Christian. And we're going to look at that. And I'm going to offer some suggestions on how we can help people take, kind of how we can engage people in that threshold and get them to the next level, the next stage. And so the first threshold or first stage is getting to know a Christian and building trust. So again, I can see this even in my own life, that I needed to get to know and trust a Christian. And so here at this stage, we can start to begin to pray for people. We can start to trust and say, God, who do you want me to be friends with? And as we start being friends with certain people, maybe our coworkers or different people, I can start to pray for them and pray for opportunities. And as we start to interact, we need to be taking a position of a learner. We need to listen and engage people as a learner. And really seek to bond with people, get to know them, get to understand where they're coming from, offer help, but at the same time, allow them into our own lives to come over to our house, you know, maybe to help us with something, to just even do things with them, going out and social things. Just anything that would allow us to bond with them. And also, we just need to talk about our faith if it was something normal. Again, as Cherry was at, you know, this family, this Canadian family that she was staying with, they didn't stop doing their prayers as a family just because Cherry was there. I'm sure that they did it and said, is it okay if we do this? They did it in a polite way. But we don't stop being a Christian in those settings. And so the key here in this first stage is about exposure and trust. So giving a person a chance to be exposed to Christianity or exposed to Jesus through us and building that trust. So that's the first key. So the second one is moving from being complacent to curious. And this is where we start to bring up spiritual topics, spiritually related topics. We can do that through different redemptive themes, so watching movies, you know, things like Star Wars. Star Wars has a lot of redemptive themes, or probably Avengers that's out right now, I think came out. You know, it probably has some redemptive themes in it. Things that, or books, or other life events that we can just bring up that we can, again, be talking about spiritual things. And then also beginning to expose them to even other Christians. Inviting them to parties or social events, or even saying, hey, we're going to, you know, watch the Blue Jays, or whoever, you're watching some sports, you're just inviting people into those so that they can help, so they can see that you're not the only one who believes in Jesus. And so the key here is creativity and questioning. Because one of the things we want to make sure we're not doing at this stage is giving pat answers. In other words, very simple answers. So if they have questions, we want to ask other questions. We want to get them questioning things. We don't want to just provide quick answers. So the third one is, third stage would be that they move to being from a kind of closed to Christianity to being open to change, to wanting, being open to change their actual beliefs. And so at this stage, we're trying to connect the dots between Jesus and their hurts or their desires or their needs or goals. And we're gently exposing their worldviews. Again, key word is gently. You don't want to say, well, what you believe is stupid. You want to say, no, have you ever thought about whether that's actually consistent? Can you do that all the time? Is that always true? Or what about this? And you want to start relating Bible promises to their life. You want to help them set perspective on what's important. For some people, their most important goal is making money or having a family. And while those things are good things, they don't always bring the satisfaction that we're looking for in our life. And then at this stage, if it's not already been done, you want to make a clear presentation of the gospel. Again, using something like the four spiritual laws or some other material. Usually for me, I'll probably, even at the second stage, at the curious stage, probably have already shared the gospel with one of my friends. I don't share it at the first stage when I'm just building trust, but I'll usually do that at probably the second stage. But for sure, by this stage, I'm doing it here. And that's why this key is, for this third one, is relating the gospel to them, helping them to see that the gospel is for them, that this isn't just my faith, this isn't just something that's for just for me, but it's actually something for you as well. Jesus died for you. Which leads to the fourth one, which is seeking God. So someone actually is now not just meandering, just kind of casually, you know, going to things, but is actually now taking the initiative. And this, in this case, we can really invite them into the Christian community. So inviting them out to a life group or Christianity 101 or an Alpha, helping them to regularly study the Bible, inviting them to even begin to pray to God, to ask God to show himself to themselves. At this stage, they're really going to be asking, people are going to be asking tough questions because they're driven to find the answers. And they're also counting the cost because they're now realizing after you've shared these things and they're starting to really seek God and you've told them what it means to follow God, they realize they have things that they're probably going to have to give up. Because before they were just open to change. Now they really want to know if this is worth it. And so the key for us is patience. Patience, because when someone is in this stage, they may go back to other stages. Because they may say, oh, this just isn't worth it. It's too hard. So we need to have patience to help someone work through those questions, to help them see that this is worth, that Jesus is worth giving their entire lives for. And the last stage is someone making that decision. And this is where we need to actually invite someone to make the decision and show them actually how to accept Christ. If we never actually give someone the opportunity, like we can share the gospel, but if we haven't actually said, well, would you like to invite Jesus into your life? Well, we haven't really given them the opportunity. And so we need to make sure that we invite someone and show them actually how to do that. And to help them realize that they don't need all the answers before becoming a Christian. Some people think, oh, I can't become a Christian because I don't know the Bible. As Cherry shared, she became a Christian before she knew everything about the Bible. It's the same way when I say to some of my international friends, I said, why are you friends with me? You know, well, like, why did you become friends? Oh, well, because you seem like a nice guy and that. I said, but how did you know I was a nice guy? Well, I didn't. I said, well, how then, why did you decide to become my friend? Well, I wanted to get to know you. Oh, so you knew that by starting a friendship with me, you would get to know me. And that's the thing. We never start relationships with people because we know everything about them, because we realize it's through relationships that we get to know them, that that's the only way. And so we have to help people realize as they're seeking God and saying, okay, well, I need more answers, I need more answers, I need more answers, to realize you don't need all the answers. The answers will really only come after you make that decision to follow Christ. And so the key here is to realize, again, it's a process and to have more patience. Again, this is a process that people are going through and we just continue to need more patience. So again, hopefully you can see these things were evident in Cherry's life and to see that again, it's a very relational process. And people will start at these different stages. Some people, it's not necessarily like, they go from point A to point B to point C, point D. It's not that these are necessarily steps. Some people will skip those steps. Some people will alternate back. But generally speaking, these are the kind of the steps that people take and how we can help them. So I kind of want to close with this idea because, again, if you've caught anything that I'm trying to say here is that sharing our faith is actually fairly easy because it's easy if we are choosing just to bring Christianity, bring our relationship with God into every aspect of life and to do it in a very relational and natural way. And so When I think about success in evangelism, I look at it as this, that it's simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. My job is just to take that initiative, to talk about Jesus, to show love, do this in the power of the Holy Spirit because I can't do it in my own strength, and trust God that he's going to work. And our motivation to do all this is love. Love for God and love for others. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us commands to go out and share our faith. You've given us the privilege of sharing our faith with others because of what you've done in our lives. And Lord, it isn't always easy to talk about you. There are fears that we have. But at the same time, Lord, people just want to get to know us. And as they get to know us, they can get to know you. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of us that there would be other friends and neighbors and coworkers and people that we know that would be like Cherry, who that we can be take that initiative with to engage, to allow them to get to know us and to build trust with, and then to help them get curious about their about our faith, about you, Jesus, and to move to being open and starting to seek and hopefully one day becoming a Christian themselves. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to think through some people in our life that we can begin to engage with, and that we can also just trust you to continue to mold and shape us and be great witnesses for you, just in a very natural way, in whatever community and whatever setting that we are in, to be able to bring our faith. And so just trust you in all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to give you an update as well, in a couple months, I'll actually be transitioning from McMaster to going over to Asia for a year. And so I feel like God has been calling me to go over to Asia. And I'm trusting that he's going to use me over there in this, a lot of the same ways that he's used me at McMaster. And so if you can keep that in your prayers